This is the Leapcast, where we talk about how today's current events impact your real life. If you are tired of politics, or you are just exhausted from the spin, this show is for you. My name is Andrew Lieb, and every week I host a talk radio show breaking down the news from an independent point of view. We discuss real estate, business, and your health, hear from the experts, and learn the truth on the Leapcast.
Personal coach and trusted attorney, Andrew Lieb.
Morty. So I don't know if you've been getting into what's going on in sports these days.
I love sports.
Yeah. I have to tell you that this is the first year that my wife has allowed me to watch sports as much as I want. It's been
You're so whipped.
I'm so whipped. But I have two boys, and finally the boys have dominated because it's three boys to one girl. And I'm not trying to say girls don't like sports, just my girl doesn't like sports. And I'm reanimated. I watch ESPN while I'm making breakfast. Like, I got SportsCenter on again. I'm back to being me. And I don't know what I missed. I feel like I missed the entire world because I don't know if you noticed this. When I was in college, I'm a big video gamer. You know, you're a chazaka. You understand that you have to gamble on the video games. That's what I do. And I play online, and I'm into it. And there's nothing like playing the NCAA. Like, I love that. You could play basketball. You could play football. Do you want to hear something crazy, Morty? I just got to tell you. Like, you know, the Leapcast is about how current events impact business and real estate. And you might be saying to yourself, Andrew, what are you talking about? Gambling? I guess that might be business. We got all these new gambling sites that are worth billions of dollars all of a sudden out of nowhere. But what I'm interested in is, am I going to be able to play NCAA basketball next year? And I want to tell you why. Because there's been three major events that happened in the last month when it comes to college athletes. And I'm going to give you the term. It's called name, image, and likeness rules. But I don't know enough about this thing. And I know you know everything. You're the chazaka. Like, I could say to you, Morty, let's talk about Shakespeare. And all of a sudden, you rock out on Shakespeare.
I'll rock out some sonnets for you.
I'm going to wait for that. But I know this guy. And I convinced him. I'm a very convincing guy. And I know this guy. And he is the host of SNY's digital NBA show, The Putback. Ian Bagley. He's the Knicks insider. He knows everything going on in sports. And I need to know how I'm going to be able to gamble this coming year. You know, I play the 12-year-olds on the video game now. It's wild.
So you gamble against 12-year-olds?
No. I gamble against my own friends. So what we do is we set up a game, and you can play online. And I say, $5 on this game. And we play the game, and we yell at each other. But to practice, I play the 12-year-olds because the 12-year-olds are much better. Better than the older people. And they're so condescending little brrr. One of them yesterday says to me, I was playing hockey with him, and he goes to me, do you want to quit now so I don't have to dominate you? He has the headphones on, and I'm like, you're 12, boy. And he just won't stop smack talking. And I got so mad, I threw the remote. Anyway, so my man, Ian Bagley, who's our new sports expert on the Leapcast, because I know this guy, and I say to Ian, what is going on with name, image, likeness rules? And so, Ian, can you just tell us what you're hearing as an insider?
There is money that is already flowing, Andrew. First of all, it's good to be with you. The money is already flowing now that this rule has been changed, and this really changes the complexion of NCAA sports. I mean, the NCAA, for years, forever, had prided itself on having amateur athletes, having this, viewing everything through the prism of amateurism. And so, you know, they created this aura of the amateur athlete who was only doing it for the love of the sport and the pride of his or her school and wasn't in it for the money. I mean, we all know it was not accurate because we know there was money being passed around under the table between a number of different parties, particularly in the revenue-generating sports, basketball and football. And for a long time, you know, college athletes had kind of banded together and fought against this idea of a fraudulent idea of amateurism. And their argument was, we're bringing revenue to these schools through our talent, we should be compensated. And so it seemed like there was so much momentum towards some form of compensation, you know, becoming legal, becoming above board. And it ended up being this name, image, and likeness form of compensation. And what this allows athletes to do is to capitalize on their own name, image, and likeness. And they can sign endorsement deals with businesses. They can promote businesses on their social media feed. And already, again, we're seeing some athletes cash in. You saw Master P's son, actually, who is a basketball player. He's got $1 million deal.
Wow.
He hasn't even set foot on the court.
But does he need it? Does he need it if Master P is his dad? He's Master Junior.
Yeah, right. He's Master lowercase p, yeah. And he doesn't, he probably doesn't need it, but I'm sure it makes him, you know, look cool with all his friends. So
I think he's cool.
Yeah, just, me too. I mean, I would love to be him for a few days. So I think that this just changes everything about college sports in so many different ways. And it's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out over the next few years. It's all just in its infancy right now.
Now, Ian, good to have you on the show. Just so I understand it correctly, this is all external, right? It's not any payments from the college to the students. It's all endorsements, or I'm sure it's going to affect the sports card industry, which I actually happen to be an avid collector of basketball cards. I don't know if Andrew knows that about me. Just to clarify, this is all external, right?
So, Ian, absolutely. just so you know, while you're saying this, Morty has his cards out right now, and he's wondering how it's going to change the whole thing. And when you say it's external, I just want to be clear on what we're doing this. There is no national law right now. There's no U.S. government federal law on this topic. There's only a policy that we're understanding from the NCAA. And the policy, just so I'm clear, is still restricted by the individual states. So based on where the athlete is, it's different. Is that a true statement?
That is accurate. And that's the next step. I mean, you guys are the experts for this part of it, but I believe that's the next step for the NCAA is working with the federal authorities and trying to find a federal policy that blankets all of these institutions. Right now it is state by state. And I believe if the state doesn't have specific legislation, I think the school is the one that can kind of form the policy in the first few weeks of this thing, as states and the federal government and the NCAA gets caught up on this thing. Again, this seismic shift in college sports. And I think you guys mentioned internal versus external. You know, there was some thought, you know, when people would try to think of ways to get athletes compensated, there was some thought of schools paying, having the money come in from internal sources. And, you know, the argument was, well, how can you pay, you know, the star college quarterback the same stipend as, you know, the track and field person, and that sport's not generating revenue, which I understand. I mean, I think in a perfect world, everybody would get the same amount of money, but that's not.
LeBron reality. Disagrees. So, LeBron is totally against that everyone getting the same amount of money.
So this, I think, was the best way to move forward in a fair way, because if you are, let's say you're the quarterback of the University of Miami, this quarterback, his name is Derek King. First day that this was available, he got paid more than $20,000 for the Sports Illustrated just on these small little endorsement deals. And so that is what he is worth in the free market. And that's how I think this should work. So I'm glad that they ended up with this policy rather than an internal policy where everyone gets a certain amount of money.
So just to give some context, because you're saying the first day it was effective, and I just want everyone to know how recent this was. July 1st is when the interim rule goes into effect. And we're talking about the 460,000 NCAA athletes and some other athletes as well. I want to point out, though, as we're discussing this, because Ian made a good point. He said athletes, college athletes, have been fighting for this for a long time. And on June 21st, I'm just giving a little context of what's going on here, Morty. I said there's three major events that happen. Again, Let's go back. The July 1st is the interim rule from the NCAA, and we're going to go into that. But on June 21st is a decision from the United States Supreme Court, the National College Athletic Association v. Alston. And in that case, they're suing back and forth. Interestingly enough, only one side sued when it got to the Supreme Court. Not that anyone cares, but up to the Ninth Circuit, it was both sides suing each other. And the end result of that, which I thought was interesting, is that the NCAA cannot cap scholarships to only undergrad. They can now give, and you're saying giving different advantages to different people, Ian. This case says that you could give graduate stuff. You could give other types of educational benefits to athletes as well. So if you're trying to recruit on a big money sport, he uses Miami quarterback, which makes a lot of sense. But as opposed to coxswain on the rowing team, that guy's not getting graduate school. But maybe the Miami guy is. I don't know if you saw Adam Fox. You know, he won the Norris Trophy from the Rangers. Adam Fox, a Long Island guy, that's where he's from. He just finished his degree at Harvard. And because that's what he was doing before he went into. So here's the crossover, Ian. I'm going to go into more detail. We'll talk about the New York law on this in a little while. But the crossover becomes like this. And this is the real question I wanted to have you on. I have two big questions. This is option one of the two big questions. Mm-hmm. The question goes like this. If student athletes are going to start being able to get name, image, likeness money on their own, are we going to stop having younger student athletes declaring for the draft? Are we going to stop having them saying, I need the money now? Or not overall, it's not going to be every single one, but are we going to see a percentage where I saw this quote recently in the NBA that the problem with NBA players is we're paying them so much money for potential that they lose the hustle to become great. And so the question becomes, when the Knicks have the 19th pick, the Knicks have the 21st pick, is this changing the draft? Maybe not this year, but is this going to change the future? Because college athletes are going to say, I can make money and be a college star and get a degree from a place like Harvard.
I think it will change. I think it's really, Andrew, like everything else, it's just going to be based on dollars. I think if you are making that decision as a freshman star in the NCAA and you can leave and you can make X in the NBA, or you could stay and you're projected to make X in college, and maybe that extra year in college can increase your draft stock. And that's important because, just a quick aside, if you're getting drafted late first round, you're getting, $3 million a year. If you're getting drafted at the top of the first round, it's $8-9 million. So that's a big difference. And so I think that will come into play. I certainly think it's going to impact how players make decisions with their families. The other interesting thing to me is the NBA recently just started to sign high school players to their G League, to a G League team, which Wild. Is made up of all top elite high school players just having graduated high school. And so they're getting a lot of money, these kids, $1 million deals from the G League, the NBA's G League. And so these players who you might normally see in March Madness at some of the biggest schools in the country would help the NCAA make a ton of money. They were not going to these schools because they were making better money with the G League, and there's another league called the Overtime League that's been established. Same principle. So now there's going to be a competition, a new competition between the colleges with the name, image, and likeness earnings potential and what these guys can earn, let's say, going the G League route and skipping college. So it's just going to be fascinating to see how it all plays out.
And also, Ian, it might not stop there because the Supreme Court only ruled on education-related benefits because that was the only issue that was before them. But based on the decision, and especially the concurring opinion by Justice Kavanaugh, it seems that if cash payments come up to the Supreme Court, I think for the same reason that the Supreme Court permitted educational benefits, they are going to permit cash payments. So it's just a matter of when that issue gets before the Supreme Court.
And if that happens, Morty, if the cash payments happen, then what's the advantage? Because I don't know if you saw this. Syracuse University. Did anyone see this thing? Syracuse University. In 2016-17, they set a record for an athletic department, Morty. $90 million. $90 million. So if they're bringing in $90 million, maybe they can't afford what the Knicks are going to afford. But if you could make that 90 go to 110, wouldn't you be willing to shell out some shekels to some people? Yeah. Like,
especially if what the coach is probably making $1 or 2 million. The athletic director is probably making $1 million. You know, they can pay the players as well.
And you don't need to pay the guy, the water boy, but you do need to pay the quarterback. You do need to pay the running back. You do need to pay the wide receiver. There's some positions that can make or break a team, although you might say Gatorade. So the thing of it is, though, is that there was three different main things that happened. And we've talked about so far, that the NCAA changed the name, image, and likeness rules. And we told you that happened back on July 1st. And it happened for a very interesting reason. And I'm going to loop back to that in 1 second. But Morty points out the Supreme Court also ruled on this thing. Ian said a fourth thing is going to happen, although I disagree with you, Ian. I will tell you that everyone agrees with you, but I disagree. Okay. You said that the NCAA is working with the federal government to get a federal law. I can only tell you that they are running out of money for the DC police right now because Nancy and Mitch can't get together on anything. So the fact that we're dreaming of a federal law with this divided Congress is like the same thing as watching sheep fly. Now, I think it makes a lot of sense to have a federal law. Logically, makes a lot of sense. Getting these people to go into a room and even discuss a federal law is like, it's not a lobbyist versus government type of thing, which is what makes sense in the average person's mind. It's a, will someone like Matt Gaetz be able to say something crazy, or someone like Marjorie Taylor Greene get to make a statement, or what's her name from the squad come out and make something that they have, because everyone's got an agenda to get their points, the squad, you know? And so I think you're right that it makes sense that they should be a law. But the reason why the NCAA did what they did, and I think this is where it all brings it back, is on July 1st, a dozen states were set to have laws. A dozen states were going to have laws on this topic. And California was the first back in 2019 about letting college athletes earn name, image, and likeness. And Ian's a New Yorker. Morty's a New Yorker. I'm a New Yorker. So we're most interested in New York. And the third main event that happened is New York State has a bill. It passed the New York State Senate on June 10th. It hasn't passed the assembly yet, so it's not ready for the governor. But the bill is called the New York Collegiate Athletic Participation Compensation Act. And I studied that bill for everyone. And the starting place of that bill is that they're going to allow college athletes to get name, image, and likeness. Interestingly enough, the bill excludes community college athletes.
What community college athlete's getting an endorsement?
Well, you say that, but I happen to know my nephew, for example, is a star high school baseball player, right? And sometimes he just broke his knee, actually. And
how long is he out for?
We don't even know. It just happened, and he was in the showcase recruiting to get to all the Division
I
hope
he got his endorsements before he heard his
name. So I was going to say is that when these things happen, Ian, the kids decide to either stay another year in high school or go to a community college and then go to the Division I so they can get the recruitment that they were supposed to get. So you could have someone that's undervalued in a community college going into the community college and then dominating. That's one thought to have on there. And also, we only think of name, image, and likeness on the Master P's son type thought of $1 million. But I could see you having the local community college, someone in a local company paying him to do things for them, because certain communities, like we're in New York, but certain communities, small towns, that's the whole game show, is the local community college. And I could see him endorsing the local real estate broker. I could see him endorsing the local Ford truck store. I could see him endorsing the local diner. So let's not forget those. So in New York, they're not going to let them do that. But here's what I thought was so interesting and about the New York law. And I think this is going to round it all back to the beginning of my question. I started the whole thing with Ian, and we haven't got an answer, and I want to know where we're going to go. This is my number two big question. My number two big question is, am I going to be able to play NCAA sports on video games? And there was a reason I asked the question. And I want to know. And I'm going to tell you why. What it says in the New York law is that, hey, these college athletes can go earn money from name, image, and likeness. However, they can't use the student – wait, what? No, not the student's name, not the student's name. They can't use the college's intellectual property while they're earning the money. And so what it says in the New York law is that they can't use the colors. They can't use the mascot. It says in the New York law, hey, you can't use the jersey. So yeah, you could go earn the money, but you're stripped of all the connection for the imagery, the campus, the landmarks, the brand, the nicknames. So here's my question. When I play those video games, Morty, they got both the mascot, the jersey, the likeness, all that jazz, and the college athletes' name, image, and likeness. How come this law doesn't go both ways? That's what I want to know. How come it says, can the college still make a deal to sell the athletes' name, image, and likeness? Or do they have to cut them in now? Do you understand what my question is? Are the college athletes now going to sue back another lawsuit? You mentioned another lawsuit and say, yeah, we get it. We can't use your mascot. We can't use your image. But guess what? When you play NCAA football, you can't use my name. You can't use my face. The end of you. What do you think about that, Ian? That's what I want to know. Are we going to see that the college athletes are going to have to get cut in on their name, image, and likeness to be able to keep having these types of video games? Because more money than the local car wash, the local Ford dealer, even Master P's son, is these video game industry, multi-billion-dollar industry. How is that going to shake?
I mean, you would think, right? Logically speaking, you would think it has to be a two-way street, and you would think that that's how this shakes out. And also, it's interesting that you bring up video games, because one of the first impetuses for the athletes, NCAA athletes, to get organized was around Charles O'Bannon and O'Bannon. And they were two star players at UCLA on the basketball team back probably before Andrew's time. I'm an old man, so I remember them. Andrew's a young man. Mark, I don't know how old you are.
I remember them in UCLA. Was that the early 90s?
Yes. One of them got drafted by the Nets. But anyhow, so they really start to bang the drum based in part on their likeness being in the video game at the time and them not seeing a dime from it. And so I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I have to think logically it becomes a two-way street, and then that opens the door for more revenue for the sports like basketball and football that are involved in these video games. So it's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out. And I haven't played video games in a long time. Andrew, you could tell me if this is still the case, but I do remember those college games way back when, you know, you could kind of tell who was who. It seemed like it was tailored to a specific player, even though that player, you might not be able to use that number, let's say, or whatever it was. You knew who you were playing with because of how the game designed that team and the player.
You could see their hairdo now. Like, it's so detailed. My son comes in my room and he goes to me, is that real or is that a video game? Like, the systems, the PS5, they're so amazing these days. And so, to bring this all back together, though, we, as I mentioned, talk about how current events impact real estate and business. And people might be listening and thinking, you know, Ian, this is a cool topic, but I don't get it. And I want to tell everyone why this matters. I think it matters from a variety of different reasons. And I referenced it, but I think it's important that we say it overtly. Small business, medium-sized business, you might not be able to afford to get, I don't know, someone like a Derrick Rose, who I really hope the Knicks re-sign, to be your endorsement. But you could get a local Stony Brook athlete to do it. And while that might not be huge on the college, on the national level, it's huge on the regional level. So there's an ability to change marketing that this is going to change from a business perspective. Now bring it together from the other side. It says that in the New York bill, there's two types of people that are going to be able to represent these athletes. Yes, the schools are going to have programs, and in the New York bill, it even says that they're going to have to educate them about financial literacy, how they can make these deals. And I think Ian referenced it before, at the first level under the new NCAA policy, the schools are going to have standards. In fact, the New York bill says it's based on the school's handbook and policy manual in addition to the law. But what it says is that someone who's a registered sports agent under the general business law in New York State, a duly licensed attorney is going to be able to represent these athletes. And I see a lot of people like the Ians out there that are going to need to be getting this agency immediately. I'm going to tell you why. Because these athletes need help today. This is a huge business opportunity, not just for the athletes, but for everyone out there. Why? Because someone needs to make the argument, which we made on the Leapcast right now, twofold. Number one, you need the person to represent, get the endorsement, get the sponsor, do the normal job of an agent. But number two, a full-service agency, I think, Morty, needs to be bringing the case that says that the athlete needs money from this video game revenue. This video game revenue is how you support the small athlete, too. Because when you do an NCAA football game,
you have to have everyone on there.
You have to have everyone. The water boy matters as well. Each person makes the team. There's no I in team, but there is an I in Ian. Ian, we want to thank you so much for joining us on the Leapcast. This has been the Leapcast. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Find us on social media at Listen to Leap or visit listentoleap.com.